So if you have your Bible handy, then it's only a short message, but we're going to have a look at that that passage, some elements from Deuteronomy. This morning we looked at Caleb. We had a testimony of Caleb, 85 years old, and he was looking back on his life. And he was telling us how he remained faithful to the Lord all through those years, how he trusted in the promises of God, how he saw that he had a big God, how he saw that he needed to be patient in God's timing, and how he had that spirit of forgiveness and love that he followed his Saviour in forgiving and those spies who had given a different report. Now we come to a sermon preached by Moses. It's all kind of around the similar time. So we're in the same period of history. Okay, so this is, you know, this is probably 431 years approximately since they'd gone into Egypt, and now they're free, and Moses is preaching to them to prepare them for going into the promised land. So let me ask you a question, aside from that a second, and ask you how good your memory is. Okay, so I'm looking around. Sorry, Andrew. Maybe I forgot to ask you. Maybe you forgot I asked you. But we're frail creatures, aren't we? Do you ever go into a room wondering what you went in for? And you come back out again? It's frustrating. Or do you ever spend ages looking for something? And it's sort of probably where you left it, but you have to go, you have to sort of do that, that was that reverse thing where you have to go backwards and eventually you find it in a drawer or somewhere. Well, God has a lot to say about memory because he knows what we're like. God knows that we quickly forget. That's the reason, isn't it, why we have the Lord's Supper. You know, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, because Jesus knew that we'd forget him. You know, not going to forget him entirely, but we go about our daily lives and we forget to put his cross and his sacrifice and his redemption right in the middle of our lives. And so, you know, regularly we come to the Lord's table and we break bread because we want to remember him. So, the people are now about to go into this promised land. 40 years of wandering is almost over. Moses is not going to go in with them. Moses is going to see it from afar off. But the people are going to go in with Joshua, their leader, Caleb, and they're going to settle down. And God knows the heart of the people he made. He knows that when they get into that land, it's going to be quite exciting. They're going to take the land. There's going to be lots of battles. They're going to trust the Lord. They're going to, you know, Jericho. There was Ai, of course, where they didn't trust God. There was Jericho where they did. And they're going to have these tremendous highs spiritually. Our God's with us. But then, of course, they're going to start to settle down. In Hebrews, where it refers to this land, it talks about the land of rest. And, of course, it's alluded to heaven in Hebrews, of course. But they're going into this land for rest. There's going to be peace. And of course, we fast forward and we think of Solomon, a great time of peace and prosperity. And God knows that as they settle down in this land, they will soon forget God. They'll become comfy. And when you're comfy, you don't have to get up and do much. You just settle down into your life. And so Moses preaches, God tells Moses to preach a series of sermons. I mean, when you and I preach a sermon, we have to kind of get down and study the Bible and try to work out what we're going to say. But Moses didn't have to do that because God told him what to say. I'm sure he had to do a little bit of work, but God told him what to say. And we're going to take just an extract from that sermon. Okay? And the question would be, and it was the same question that we said this morning, how do I arrive safely on Canaan's land? How do I get to the promised land and not get sidetracked along the way? And the first point, we haven't got any points on the screen, but the first point is in, I think it's answered in verse 11. do not forget. In fact, interestingly enough, this sermon is got two major points with some sub-points. And his first point is do not forget. And his second point is remember. He's driving this point home, isn't he? You say, well, it's the same thing. But he's driving it home. He starts negative, do not forget. And the second point is remember. Remember. So let's all look at this first of all. So the first major heading of his sermon is do not forget. Do not forget. And this is what he says in verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. So we can ask a simple question, couldn't we? In New Testament terms, what are his commandments? Well, we don't have to go very far into the New Testament to see that his commandment is to repent, to be baptized, and to believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And having done so, to put him first in your life and follow him. Jesus summed up the whole law, didn't he? All those laws are summed up. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, your soul, your might. And you shall love your fellow man as yourself. And our commandment is to follow Jesus. And when we fail, we repent and we believe and we trust in the blood and we go to him and we say, please help me. The commandment is to love the Lord Jesus Christ and put him first. So, first of all, do not forget who God is. And God is reflected in his commandments. Secondly, do not forget what God has done. It says in verse 2, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. Of course, God already knew what was in their heart, but he wanted them to know what was in their heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Your clothing did not wear out, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. So when we're tempted to turn back, when we're tempted to throw in the towel and say, well, it's far too hard, you know, I'm going to take a back seat as a Christian, I'm going to put my feet up, getting old now, so I'll put my feet up, let others get on with the work, take an easier way out, put the telly on instead of getting your Bible out, get up in the morning, prayer's far too hard today. I'll just skip all that. And so you see, turn back. Forget. When you're tempted to do that, and you're frightened maybe you won't even make it to Cana, the land flowing with milk and honey, remember what he has done for you. Remember that he sought you out. Eternity past, that plan was in place. In time, he hunted you down. The hounds of heaven were on your case. Remember that when God troubled you? You started to be troubled by his gospel? You were okay. You were living your life and maybe you thought it was great. And then God started to trouble you. Stirring. He sought you out. He saved you. He brought you to Christ. The blood was applied to your heart, to your account. His payment was on your account. You received his righteousness. You were a child of God. And through your Christian life, there's been these ups and downs. You fall into sin. You fall into despair. But God, Christ, has picked you up and carried you. Like a shepherd with that wounded lamb. He doesn't worry about the others all healthy in the pen. He goes out into the highways and byways and seeks them out. Carries them. Remember what he has done for you. Moses reminds them. He says, do you remember? You were in Egypt. You were slaves. You had no weapons. You had no strength. You were just slaves. There was nothing you could do. And yet, I did that. I set you free. The blood over the post. The angel of death came through the camp. And you may well have been really terrified that the angel of death would come and get you. But when he saw the blood over the lintel and on the post, he passed over. And he set you free. All those miracles. And Pharaoh was powerless. So remember, child of God, when you're tempted to forget, Remember what he has done for you. Do not forget what he has done for you. Every morning, wake up and say, God has set his love upon me. God has sent his son for me. God sent his Holy Spirit to track me down and then came into my life and baptized me into himself. I am a child of God. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And then his second heading, his major heading is remember. So this, it just turns into two. Don't forget. Remember. It's the same thing, isn't it? But the other side of the coin. And here he says to them, remember what your heart is like. Remember what your heart is like. He doesn't say, don't forget your heart. He says, remember what it's like. In verse 11, he says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God. Take care. Take care. By not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and have fallen and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. You see, comfy, comfy. He says, don't forget your heart. Don't forget your human tendency to leave the God who loves you. Jeremiah 17, God reminds us, not something perhaps we particularly like hearing, and perhaps we don't fully understand the depths of this, but God says to us in Jeremiah, your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And yet God still loves us with depraved hearts. So trust him, but always be suspicious of the intentions and motives of your heart. Be wary of your feelings and your tendencies. Your heart may remember to beat, but it's easy for us to forget who gives it life. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? Remember your heart. Remember, yes, God has come and moved in. But remember the tendency of your heart. Be mistrustful. When you go into that land, be aware of your tendency to sit back and get rich and prosper and do well and put your feet up and say, look, didn't I do well? And pay homage to God on a Sunday, on the Sabbath, but largely forget him in your life. So he says, remember your heart. But secondly and lastly, remember God's purpose. And this is really the verse that drew me to this passage. He says in verse 14, 15, he says, he brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, and brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know. Listen to what he says then. That he might humble you and test you. Why? Because God's a hard taskmaster? No, to do you good in the end. That's a wonderful verse. Why did he do all this? Why is the Christian life so difficult? Why are there so many ups and downs? Why are there so many valleys to go through? Why are there the hardships? Why is it hard to pray? Why is it hard to study the scriptures? Why is it hard to witness? Why is it hard to go through the daily life, putting sin to death? That he might humble you, test you, prove you, in other words, and listen, to do you good in the end. He talks about a father disciplining his children. You know, God's purposes are always good. And he wants you to know that. In verse 3, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He didn't want them to live relying on stuff, on their own efforts, by these flocks and this comfy and your pensions and your big house and all these things. He says, you need to rely on the Lord. His purpose is to get you into the promised land. His purpose is to make you a people of renown. His purpose is not just to get you to the promised land here on earth, but to get you to the true Canaan. The Canaan of the Bible, of course, is only a picture of a greater land flowing with milk and honey. And what is the purpose of the sermon? What was the intent of God? Verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a land of brooks. We just read it again, it's wonderful, verse, of fountains. Now apply this to heaven. Elevate this now out of Canaan, out of Moses, out of the wilderness. Elevate this up now into New Testament. A land of brooks of water. Ian preached a very moving service, a sermon to us recently. Talked about no more sea, but he made the point that there's a river there, a river of life, of fountains, of springs flowing out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Just keep this up. Thinking about heaven here, a land whose stones, everything you're going to need for eternity is provided. It's a picture. It's a picture of an earthly place, but it's a picture of heaven. Jesus said, and we quoted this morning, Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. So Moses' message to us is, don't forget. Remember. Keep your eyes on Christ, and Canaan is sure.